Want to be a part of the conversation? Then let us know on the TNT Radio Interactive Live Chat Room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. Our lines are now open. Call Dean Mackin now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Yeah, free speech. Use it or lose it. Give us a call, 1-800-670-310 Australia, or the other numbers, which I haven't yet memorized, as with the guy with the nice voice. Okay, if you'd like to call, do that right now. You can send emails via the website tntradio.live. Click on presenters, click on my name, Dean Mackin, and there'll be a box there and you can fill it in and send an email, or send it to Dean Mackin, M-A-C-K-I-N-D-E-A-N, that is, by the way, D-E-A-N-M-A-C-K-I-N at tntradio.live is how you do that. And we'll talk to some of you. Okay, here's something. Fraud and fakery, and it's coming to a town near you. We've got this deep fake technology. It is one of the most frightening parts of AI because not only does it do it really, really well, it can now do it in almost real time when it comes to the video. I mean, it's fractions of a second behind doing it in real time. The voices, depending on the quality, can be almost real time or up to 2 seconds behind, which on a phone call, if you think it's coming from overseas, may not even seem unusual. So this is where it's at right now. But as computers get faster, and as somebody that's worked in IT for coming up on, 35 years, yes, showing my age, it's just gone ahead in leaps and bounds. So it won't be long before some creep sitting in their cave on the other side of the world who happens to have a nice fast internet connection and a laptop will be able to phone you, ma and pa, and have not just the voice of, but the face of your son or daughter in real time on a video conference. So your phone will ring, you'll answer. There will be somebody that looks and sounds like your child. I kid you not. This is how frightening this technology is. And they'll say something along the lines of, "Mum, Dad, I've broken down on the side of a freeway. My car's almost been hit by a semi 2 times. And I've got a tow truck driver here, but I don't have any money on me. He's demanding $350 right now. I'm sitting in the car. I could get hit. And I've got his bank account details here. Could you transfer the money?" And bear in mind, this is a video call that will absolutely look like your child and or your wife, your father, your mum, whoever, and it will sound like them too. There is almost no way to know it's not them. And it's coming. It is almost there right now. You've seen some of the deepfake videos. You can get onto AI and you can just basically tell it to make a video of Donald Trump looking like he's getting arrested. I mean, you can do all of that, but it's here. It's coming, and this is how you get around it. Okay, so if you get these days they're doing it on Facebook, text messages and whatnot. So just having a laugh at a message that popped up. So basically what you can do is have a safe word, and that is the trick. So if you get a message coming through on Facebook, "Mum, I need some money. I've been locked out of the house. I've got a locksmith coming. I need $200. Okay, you say, "What's the safe word?" And it's that easy. They don't know it. It's probably not them. We've got some talkback callers that want to have a chat. We've got Mary up in Queensland. Hey, Mary, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Yeah, just you called Dr. William McBride. It's actually Dr. William Bay who was arrested yesterday.
Oh, sorry, I didn't say Dr. McBride, the guy who is behind everybody knowing about thalidomide, did I? Is that what I said?
You did. It was probably obviously a slip of the tongue.
It was Dr. William Bay. He is an absolute legend. I know him well. We've actually got our producer trying to get a hold of him to possibly get him on tomorrow or the next day, which we would love to do. A slip of the tongue, when you get these heroes that are doctors and their names are so similar.
Heroes, that doesn't matter if you get their names muddled.
it's pretty good company to be in, I think you'll agree.
He knows so much about the politics of what's going on more than anyone because he's he's tracked what's going on at constitution level with the emergency powers, as well as being a doctor. He's fabulous, as are many others.
Yeah, it's sickening to me as somebody who worked in the mainstream media for well over a decade that so few people get behind the likes of him. It really is frightening to me that after the last couple of years with the data that is now available, that they haven't switched sides. And you'll hear very, very few people who may have got certain aspects of it wrong. And I applaud Chris Smith. Yesterday said on his own program that even he got aspects of it wrong, and he's the only person you'll ever hear in the mainstream media who's had the balls to admit it.
And
move on. I mean, you won't hear that anywhere else other than here on TNT Radio.
He was the one I remember. He interviewed Jane Holton, who I think's the greatest cow on this planet. But she sucked everyone in, and she was the one who was pushing for the jabs, and she worked World Economic Forum. She ran the event 201 in Switzerland just before this 1 in 100 year pandemic that you couldn't believe happened.
Yeah.
And she sucked Chris in, but Chris has told us that he sucked in, and they can help us more than those who've got it from the start because they know what it feels like to be sucked in.
Yeah, and it's not Chris's fault. I mean, people, our producers and ourselves.
It's no one's fault apart from the bloody
bastard.
It's no one's fault. If you've been sucked in and you don't know you've been sucked in, it is not your fault, because it just shows how clever these evil people are.
Yeah, it certainly is. And it's only when you get the likes of outspoken people and well-known people like Dr. Karen Phelps, who was telling everyone, calling people names such as Craig Kelly and whatnot, having a go at them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't have a degree. They're lunatics, she was saying. But then roll on a couple of years, her partner have been damaged, immensely damaged by the vaccines. Now they're coming out. So many doctors, and I'm not saying her, so many doctors are seeing this in their patients and saying nothing, but when it comes and hits them personally, then they speak out and then it's too late.
Yeah. And Asim Malhotra, he's another darling who absolutely thought the vaccine was the best thing ever. And now he says it's the worst thing ever. So, it's so good when people do say, well, I was sucked in, basically. It's not their fault.
Yeah, you're 100% right. Please don't be a stranger to the program. I do have to throw to a commercial break. Everyone, you're listening to TNT Radio. We'll be back with another call. See ya from John after this.
Digging deeper on the facts.
It's a source I can trust.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
I think John's gone. He's disappeared into the ether. And I'll just go back to what I was saying about people who are doctors. Oh, there he is. How are you, mate? What's happening?
I'm very interested in what you've just spoken to that priest.
Yeah, about the hospital being closed, being taken over, I should say.
Yeah, well, I just want to make a light statement on a very serious statement. Look, we'll have a floor show before they take them over, because we'll have Welcome to the Country and a dance and a smoking and everything else,
Yeah.
Now, I sent you a couple of emails and you may not have had a chance to look at them, but what people have got to start to realise, everything that's been done that's caused us deleterious injury, financially, physically and everything else, is all against our constitution. Whole lot of it. The whole bloody lot of it. Now, I want to give you a little bit of a setup. They say the $1 billion this, $10 billion, $20 billion, $80 billion. A billion seconds ago, it was 1959. That's 63 years ago. That's what a billion minutes ago, Christ was on Earth. A billion hours ago, it was the Stone Age. A billion days ago, people walked on the Earth on 2 feet. So when you start to equate when they start saying billion, then they slip into trillions. So you can imagine how much money they have to be, like a shipping containers wouldn't hold it. And they run it around like it's bloody confetti. And our medical system, I was going to give you some, but I've had people ring at me. I was going to give you some, all our industries has been taken over, the food industry and everything else, but I'll do that another day. But the public have got to wake up that to take away private schools, like the, a lot of them are Catholic schools. I went to a Catholic school, and I'll say it right now. I'm sorry I did. I'd have been better off at a public school because I was one out of the... I didn't fit in the square they wanted me to. Our education system had failed. The best hospital in Sydney, St Vincent's. That's where everyone goes. Now, when they start talking about what you were just speaking to the gentleman with the drugs and everything, we were totally self-sufficient in this country manufacturing our pharmaceutical goods. Totally self-sufficient. I will speak about the ones that I knew, which I lived near. We had Parke Davis, the biggest in the Southern Hemisphere. It turned out to be the Department of Motor Transport later on in Rosebery. It was over 2 acres. It wasn't big enough. So they went to Caringbah and on 4 acres. We had, and then the Lima Declaration wrecked them. We had, we had Drug Houses of Australia, Australian Drug Company, Andrews Laboratories, AC Hattrick, Slades, Glaxo something at Botany, and there was another company that was round in the back of Dunning Avenue in Rosebery. I can't remember their name. But in conjunction with that, you had other companies manufacturing stuff for them, like distilled water and acids and everything else, that went into the mixtures of their drugs and pharmaceutical goods. So every one of those jobs, they at the end result manufacturing, of whether it was injections or tablets, there's 6 other jobs attached to it. For every job you create, 6 other auxiliary jobs are attached to it. And we machine.
And John, that's the problem. I mean, the fact that, as you say, people hear from government, we're going to close down this industry, but there are all these follow-on industries that people have absolutely no clue about. But John, unfortunately, we only had a finite amount of time to talk. So what I will do, I will organise a time for you to call possibly tomorrow or the next day, because I know you've got a list that you'd like to read. And it's a bit of a long list, but I think it's imperative that people absolutely hear it.
I'll just give you a few.
John, you'll need to do that tomorrow because, mate, I literally have run out of time. I've got a minute and a half over the break time, but I will absolutely get you to do it this week, I promise. So, people, we do need to get to a break. We've got a guest on the line waiting, and John is a wealth of information, but I absolutely will get that information off him later this week, I do promise. You're listening to TNT Radio, and we'll be back after this break.
Pervoye Morich on TNT Radio.
I thought it was interesting to mention, it was said by Turkey's top security official, Süleyman Soylu, that Turkey will restore its imperial legacy and impose its will around the globe if Erdogan wins the elections, making Islam rule the world. And this is not surprising for some of us who have been following this, that Erdogan and crew have been pushing a neo-Ottomanism. I could feel it when I was out there living in Kazakhstan, which is the same people group as the Turks, and they had the Turkish schools there, and a lot of sort of that expansion of Turkey economically, socio-culturally, religiously. So we've got the Turkish imperial ambitions, Russian imperial ambitions, I would say Chinese, as well as, of course, the globalist American empire, GAE, as they say, G-A-E.
Pervoye Morich on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tess Laurie, and I'd like to invite you to this year's Better Way Conference. Join more than 50 international speakers and our host, Neil Oliver, as they unveil how we can take back our health, freedom, and sovereignty. Watch inspiring, empowering, uplifting, live conversations, and attend workshops with world-renowned health professionals, activists, and journalists. This year's speakers include James Corbett, Matthias Desmet, Laura Abeli, Dr. Pia Khoury, Dr. Jessica Rose, and Vera Sharav. We'll be discussing solutions to the World Health Organization monopoly power grab, fake food, the climate agenda, artificial intelligence and transhumanism, big pharma corruption, and much, much more. If you are questioning the events of the last 3 years and want to be part of real and positive change, come to the Better Way Conference in the first weekend of June. You can attend online or in person in the historic UK city of Bath. Join us, brothers and sisters, Be part of this growing international community with a vision for a better way. Join the warriors fighting to save humanity and our planet. Visit betterwayconference.org for tickets and information. Your ticket purchase supports the groundbreaking work of the World Council for Health. See you there.
Proudly supported by TNT Radio.
CO2 sustains all life on Earth, but now it's in long-term decline. We face the return of an ice age. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And welcome back. I particularly appreciate our talk, you know, our call, those callers that we have. Sorry, I'm reading and talking at the same time. I shouldn't do that. Our talkback callers who ring in and have their say. I know John used to ring me regularly. He is literally a wealth of information. And we used to get 6 hours. Can you believe six? Who would want to do a 6-hour radio shift? Yeah, I know. We used to do them at the other place. It was just crazy. And so he had a lot more time there. So, but we will get John back on during the week and we'll get a bunch of information off him. This hour, it's a little bit clandestine. We've got some people and two terrific interviews we'll be doing, and I can't use their real name in either of them because of their situations and the things that they're either doing or have done. So my next guest we're going to refer to as Mr. Winter. He's a foreigner and he's an author. He's a copywriter. He's behind Russian lines in the Ukraine right now as we speak. He's a little bit like Anne Frank, trying to stay hidden from the Russians. On a daily basis, he deals with the stresses and the struggles of being where he is, and he uses imagination and simple resources to keep himself busy during the beehive of activity that's going on outside with the Russians. Mr. Winter, how are you?
Well, you can imagine, but I'm doing fine right now.
It's great that you say you're doing fine, because many people wouldn't be. And you've used, you know, your intuition, you've used your creativity to create a life for yourself in a place that is almost impossible to imagine for most people listening. Hence, if you could try and paint a picture for anybody who obviously will probably or hopefully never be in your situation, try and paint a picture of how life is for you and the struggles you go through every day.
Well, you have to take it back to February 24th, 2022 at earliest. Imagine, if you will, your world suddenly stopping. Many people in America noticed a little bit of that surrealism on 9/11.
Yeah.
But they didn't get the full effect because no one invaded America. If you realize, I mean, you imagine your world stops 8 o'clock in the morning. Time just completely is absolutely no matter at all. Rockets fly over your house, exploding at a neighborhood school. And they find a shell later that says, unwritten on it, for the kids.
Yeah.
Hospitals bombed, doctors and nurses killed for no other reason than their medical support for your country, and they don't trust them. They stand them up and kill them. This is what happened in some of the first invading cities. Hearing your friends hearing or seeing people being taken out of their houses, led out to an area and executed. This happened as well. The satellite pictures caught that going on, and they were buried in an unmarked wide mass grave.
Wow.
Surrealism, complete surrealism on the other side of the world. But, you know, every morning you wake up and you realize that if you have to go to a hospital or a dentist, you can't. My son breaks his arm, I got to fix it.
Yeah.
Nobody else can. Soldiers, you look outside, soldiers are driving their trucks around. Big green trucks with a big white Z on it, letting you know you're invaded. They're here and you're not important. For about the first, that first year, my anxiety level was high, very high. And it still goes high from now and then. I just try to keep real with what's going on. They're not American. They're not Australian. They're not anybody but somebody, an invading force that wants to come and kill whoever shows aggression, because they want to take over the country. That's really the bottom line. No matter how you slice it, no matter what they say their intentions were or what they were told, that's what's going to happen if they have their way.
I'm guessing, like many people, you thought that it would probably never happen, that the Ukrainians would instantly just give in to the Russians. And as we keep seeing all these arms being shipped to the Ukraine, we ask the question, how long can this drag on? And it used to be months, and now people are thinking in terms of years. So do you try to not think about that, or is it just constantly on your mind?
That goes both ways. A lot of people were in the school thinking Ukraine would just lay down. Okay. The thing about it was is that there were people who were going to stand up. And you have to rewind back to 2014 when the first coup happened and they knocked Yanukovych out of office.
Yeah.
It started there, not at February 24th. That was just this is the climax, if you will. This is the February 24th was a prelude where they tried to invade, but there weren't enough military personnel at the time. But at that time, they did take Crimea. At that time, they illegally annexed Crimea and its territories. And that was the first. That was when this whole thing actually started. And then the plan started forming and they gathered people at the border. So the other part of your question, I'm sorry, I forgot.
It's okay. I've got another question that occurred to me when you were talking about that. So when this started, now I would imagine there would have been a certain percentage of the population in the Ukraine who would have been eager to fight, and you probably couldn't have stopped them. But as the attrition rate goes up and the numbers being reported are anything from, you know, low 10,000 to I've seen 150,000 on both sides. So I don't know which numbers to believe. You would have a better idea than I do. But as this goes on into the second year, do you find that people are still keen to fight, or are they being encouraged to fight but would rather not? What's the vibe on the street with the Ukrainians?
Okay. Let me turn a question around to anyone listening and you and say, you're living in your house and it's 12 midnight and someone breaks through your door. What do you do?
You're going to fight back. You're not going to be real happy. Yeah.
This is your home. You have absolutely no choice. Yeah, they're going to fight. They're going to fight until the last man. This is Zelensky's words, not mine. They're going to fight to the last man. And as you saw on the first invasion time, inside of a week, the Russians found out that they were coming against a very powerful opposition. It wasn't something where they were just going to walk in, hold their Russian flags up and say, okay, we're here now. They did that in Crimea when no one knew what was going on. The Ukrainian people seem to be rather resilient, and they're going to fight back no matter what. Now, there are people, civilians, that are at certain levels of collaboration because they have to make a living. They have to have money coming in the house. They have to have certain things. So they have to, when the Russians occupy a city, they set up their own administration. They set up their own way of working, employments, and so forth, and people go to work for them. But it's not to say that they're 100% collaborator, but they need money. And since the Russians are actually forced out the Ukrainian hryvnia, they have to have rubles. And to have rubles, you have to work for it. And it just it restarts the whole working employment program.
Hmm. So what's
they
the
have to collaborate to some level.
So what's the supply chain like there? Is it easy to get your hands on what you would consider to be everyday type of groceries, for example?
Well, at first, everything shut off. Food, electricity, water, all of it shut off. And by and by, even postal deliveries shut off, and they will not allow postal deliveries because that could mean anything. So they have that completely shut off. Telephones, local telephones are shut off. You have a subscription to a telephone company with your SIM card. You don't have it any longer. And so all of these apps that you have that rely on your phone number don't work. You have to find out another way to do that. So you're out of that. All you have is internet. They have to have internet because they have to have their own communication. So you get internet as a benefit of that. They came in, they occupy the territory, they knock out all communications. That's standard war 101. And then they reset up their own communications. But being that there's internet and communication needs, they set up an internet. Because you're hooked up with the internet and you're paying an internet bill, you get the internet too.
All right. Mate, hold that thought because we do need to get to a break, but I'm going to get you back on the other side of the break. I've got a few more questions that I would like to ask you, and I'm guessing many of the current listeners would like to know as well. And if you could just hang on the line, we'll be back right after this break. Hang around. You're listening to TNT Radio.
Here's the news.
TNT Radio News.
News. Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. 93-year-old convicted pedophile and disgraced former entertainer Rolf Harris has died of neck cancer at his home in England. Moscow claims over 70 anti-Russian militants were killed during this week's failed attempt to take Russia's Belgorod region, which straddles the Ukrainian border. And London's come under fire for banning white people for applying for an internship within the government's transport department.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. For the news and views silenced by the mainstream media, by government and corporations, vote one. TNT Radio. Free speech always has a home here. Stay up to date with the latest live news and current affairs delivered by our lineup of expert commentators and hosts. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Yeah, and if you'd like to call right now, 1-800-670-310, we'll open up our talkback lines. We've got a little bit of a gap opening up, so we do that. We're talking with Mr. Winter. It's not his real name. He's holed up over in the Ukraine behind Russian lines. We've got him on the line. A question that I'd like to ask, and I'm guessing many people listening are asking, why didn't you get out when you had the chance?
I had the chance. Weeks before, we saw the... We saw the Russians gathering on the line, and there were some oppositions from the other half of me of leaving, and I made a decision to stay and make sure my son was protected.
Well, would that
I
not
made
have
a decision to protect my son? What's that?
Okay, and well, would it not have been a safer decision to have left at the time?
Oh yes, by all means. But there was no way possible that I could do that. And he wouldn't be able to come, so I made a decision to stay and try to make sure that he was protected, if
any other
all possible.
I was going to say, the other question being, is there any way of getting out now? Surely there'd have to be some way of getting out of the country. People are leaving in droves. Is there any way that is possible?
This area being occupied, absolutely not, especially for me.
And it's been occupied for and I know you can't identify where you
March, somewhere around March, they had, well, probably not March, probably earlier than March, not long after they invaded, they occupied our territory. And that was it. That was like the doors were closed.
And what's it like with the media there? Are you getting an accurate commentary of what's happening around you, or is it a little bit one-sided?
Both. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of lies going on. As far as the deaths and death toll and so forth, don't believe what you hear until after the war, I'm telling you right now. There's a lot going on with that, and you can't believe anything until the final numbers come out at the end.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, and without giving it away, in the area that you're in, there was reportedly a referendum, and people, they chose to side with Russia. Is that not the case?
There was a referendum. They're not enforcing it quite as hard as they say they are. Oh, that can change at any minute. Anything can change here at any minute. The referendum, there was martial law. There is martial law. No alcohol is sold at the stores. different things like this. But right now they're worried about their war effort. You know, they're actually trying to make it look good. They're trying to set up a community. They're in little towns and villages that they've completely occupied, and they're trying to set it up, make it look like a little city, a little terrarium for people to, you know, feel like they could be living a life. It's not all true. And I'll never relax over it.
Well, it's certainly some difficult circumstances in which you find yourself there. It's good that you found a way to keep yourself occupied. Is there no chance, is there absolutely no way that if Russia is on side and people via the referendum are on side with Russia, that you could approach them through some sort of negotiations to let them return, let you and your family return to America?
In my opinion only, I'd have to say no, because a lot of the things that are happening and being where I am and what I am, being where I was born, they're a hot ticket. I mean, you find somebody like that in the opposition side, I would let them go.
Yeah.
So no. You know, there have been some funny stories that the Ukrainians have done during the war. But as far as, I don't even leave the house. Okay. I don't take my son out. I don't go out the house, because there's, at any minute, at any given time, anything can happen. And because I don't speak the complete language, they'll know right away if I open my mouth.
Yeah, certainly horrific circumstances in which you find yourself there. Mr. Widder, I appreciate you coming on here this afternoon and your time, but it is fleeting and I do need to get to our next caller. But, mate, I wish you well. I wish your family well. I hope things turn out well for you over there, and that the situation is resolved to everybody's satisfaction sometime soon, if that is the case. We're going to go to the lines, and we've got Leonie there, who rang yesterday, but we missed out. Leonie, hi.
Yeah, how you going, Dean?
Excellent, thank you.
Yeah, I've just got a poem that I've written. It's called We Love Australia, But What's Going On?
Yeah.
Okay, we love Australia, this nation of ours, the beaches, the mountains, the sheep and the cows, beautiful rivers and sometimes there's snow, and freedom to roam where you want to go. Australia's been different from many other nations. It's values and ethics that's been for generations. Australia's constitution says we humbly rely on the blessings of Almighty God, so I wonder why. Why do so many resent even the mention of God or his word, or they pay no attention? Many people are noticing our values are slipping and see all the problems and often fear gripping. The families, the schools, society and youth seem they've lost their way and don't want the truth. There's family breakdowns, crime and drugs now seem rife. Many wonder what's happened that's changed in our life. The whole world is changing, it seems, quickly now. Riots and bloodshed and tyranny wanting power. Those who take a stand and God's values uphold are ridiculed, attacked, and then we are told we don't need those values for they are old. Have you noticed this change is not for the better? We need to wake up and read God's detailed letter. He warned that all this would be occurring now. We can't turn back the clock, but each should see how God offers a way to come personally to him, for he sent his son to pay for our sin, repentance, forgiveness, and a new life within. So thanks, Dean, and yeah, we enjoy listening to your show.
Thank you, Leonie. Always appreciate your time and that very considered poetry that you do. Yeah, it's always terrific, and it's good that somebody is got their finger on the pulse. And Leonie quite often rings me and has over the years, and she's politically very switched on as well. She obviously is in touch with her God as well, which is phenomenal, and we love that. And we had a very great Catholic priest on here this afternoon, so a bit of a different afternoon, but certainly I hope that you're out there listening and enjoying the program. We've got a very great interview. I consider it was pre-recorded this morning, so we're going to get to it on the other side of the break. Stick around. You're listening to TNT Radio.
with his expert analysis and opinion. This is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Come on, FBI. You're going to have to do a lot better than that if you want us to buy one of your Nazi false flags. I know we call you the Phoebes, and yes, that does stand for feeble, but that doesn't mean that every single thing you do has to be feeble. Seriously, a little effort go a long way. I'm referring, of course, to the latest absurd story about 19-year-old Sai Varshith Kandula, an Indian from Missouri, who allegedly rented a U-Haul box truck and drove it empty at a low rate of speed into a barricade at the White House, and conveniently had a Nazi flag on the seat next to him, all ready for FBI to spread out on the ground in front of the accident scene for one of their patented photo ops, just like they took empty file folders marked classified and top secret and spread them on the floor at Mar-a-Lago to create the impression that Donald Trump was carelessly strewing about classified documents, which was a completely false narrative. This one is too. Just ask any 19-year-old college student who has tried to rent a U-Haul truck to move to or from college. Can't be done. So who rented the vehicle, when, and what's the story here? Because one thing is guaranteed. It's not what the Phoebes are telling us. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And welcome back to TNT Radio. My next guest is commonly known, and he does a podcast too, of his own, by the way, Colonel Mike, and his history is rather impressive. He's our go-to guy in the US, part of the Two Mikes podcast, and we're going to switch to him and find out what's happening with the Durham Report, with Donald Trump and the state of the DOJ and the FBI. Hi, Colonel Mike. How are you?
Good morning where you are. How are you?
Thank you. Good night to you over there where you are in the States. Mate, the 306 pages, it's something that a lot of us have been waiting a long time for. Now, I'll be honest, I can't say that I was surprised by the outcome, but it's always good to have things vindicated or to be out there in the ether so that we can basically say that this 306-page report has proven Donald Trump to be absolutely not guilty of any of the things that he was accused of. But moving forward, do we ever trust the FBI and the DOJ again?
Well, we haven't been trusting them for a long time. And this is going back, you have to understand, this goes back to Clinton. And when Clinton came in, the first order of duty was to take out every attorney general in the 50 states and put his own people in. So it started back then, and it continued on through the Bush administration, right through Obama. But with Obama, the double Bush, and then going into a double Obama administration, it went into, you know, high speed, meaning that they placed former Clinton people in there, such as Mueller, Comey, and so on, and others, and really, really did a sweeping job in policing power. So we go back again. We want to go back for a minute to 9/11. And when they put in the Patriot Act, that set in motion basically what we have today. And, you know, what happened, as you guys know, with the J6 prisoners in the gulag in D.C. With that protest when Donald Trump said, hey, no violence, no nothing. People got out of hand. What it was vandalism, basically. Breaking windows and stuff like that is vandalism, you know. Yeah. But and then they went, and now we found out they went through all the spy databases, and they, you know, they tracked the Apple phones and the Android phones. People are still being picked up, by the way. People are still being raided by their homes. Just two people recently who were praying, never even got to the Capitol, just on the steps, praying for that day, will have to come in and face a court now. And they did nothing but pray. So it's a Gestapo tactic, which is being used by the the judicial system, the Justice Department, which is really, really unfair. And it shouldn't continue. But you see, the present Congress has a budget and they have the purse strings and they can defund a lot of this. How, if they're going to do it, we really don't know. We hope they do. Presently, listen to this now. The FBI is looking for a building, a new building outside of Washington, because they like the Washington metro area. That'll be bigger than the Pentagon. Maybe wow. $8-9 billion, $10 billion. You know, why not go to like Kentucky or Indiana? Go to a nice small town. You know what I mean? Yeah. You don't need to be in there all the time. I just want to make a correction because I think the notes went over wrong. I was a charge of d'affaires 4 years at the UNPO.org, which is an organization that helps small countries or that don't have any representation, like minority groups that have no representation at the UN.
Yeah.
And they're always being shoved aside. And I worked inside Burma, Thailand, a little bit on Cambodia, but mostly in Thailand and Burma. And, you know, that was my beat. You know, I was representing these people at the UNPO in New York City for about 4 years.
So one of the questions that many people are asking, so if the Bush administration and the Obama administration were able to put, if you will, their white ants into the woodwork, why was Trump not able to undo that during his term?
Or good question. Good question. We get that asked all the time on two mics. Now, here's the reason. The reason being is Trump is a great businessman, surrounding himself with plumbers, electricians, you know, people, you know, what we call blue collar people, right? Guys that have hammers and nails, right? Okay. But he surrounded himself with campaign people when he got into office. And he put people that were in the campaign in the Oval Office. And then you got to understand something. A lot of people don't realize this. You know, Pence was put on him. It wasn't his real pick. That's part of the little, you know, backdoor things that they do in politics here, right? And then he got this guy, Rince Priebus, as his first White House, the right-hand man to the president, which wasn't his pick either, right? So what they did, the Republican Party, the RNC, you know, they said, well, in order for you to do this, you have to have this, that, and the other thing. He didn't have the political acumen. Sharp guy, you know, I met him once, that was it. But we had him on our show twice when he was running. In fact, we called it out 5 months before he announced. We said, hey, if you're ever going to run, come on the show. He came on our show a couple of, I think it was 2 months after he announced. And really great guy. He's got, you know, his son Eric is a fantastic person. I met him many times at the Trump Hotel in D.C. You know, they forced him to sell one of the greatest hotels. It was packed every day in D.C. Yeah. Anybody who's been to Washington knew it. So he just didn't have the right people around him. He didn't have the best people around him. And the people in Congress, the Republican Party, you have to understand, not all of them are conservative. Not all of them are Tea Party. Not all of them are freedom. A lot of them are rhinos, what we call rhinos, which are like a moderate Democrat or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were hoping he would fail because he came in there with a wrecking ball. He came in there with a wrecking ball to take the place apart, which you can't do in 4 years, right? And then what they did is they just threw all this stuff on him. They knew it was a fake from the jump with Hillary Clinton organizing with Obama. Obama knew that Joe Biden knew. Everybody knew. Now we know this, okay? We knew it before, but now we know it officially, right? And they kept throwing these, you know, these mines at him. And basically what they're doing to him now, as a post-president, it's never been done in the history. It's lawfare. They're going to keep them tied up in courts, let them spend a lot of money, you know, getting lawyers. Then they're going to threaten lawyers. The psychos in the streets are going to throw pizza on them. You know, you don't have this normal conversation in the past, you know, with what goes on in a former president. Clinton, Obama, Bush, you know, they're very highly loved by the people. You know, it's like they walk on water. But, you know, who loves them? 30%, 32%, 38%? You know, you have to understand, we are a totally divided country, more now than ever. And we said it the other day, you know, on the show. I mean, this is a lot worse than when we split up as the Civil War. You know, then they were fighting against the federal government for states' rights.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just, look. Nobody keeps the border open. You got to have borders, language, and culture. If you don't have a border and you don't have language, you have no culture, you're done.
Yes.
Who opens the gates for millions of people to come in who have nothing in common, No hard feelings. I understand you need a job, but we're not a manpower company. Yes. We're a country, yeah. Right? Uh-huh. They come in, and the first thing you do is you roll out the carpet, you give them all these benefits. Now, I know all the countries in Europe are doing some of this stuff. However, people who lived here, fought in wars, served in uniform, they don't have these benefits. They're being cut every day. They don't have the luxury of staying in a hotel, of getting $4,000 a month stipends, you know, food cards, whatever. I mean, how do you tell this to the American people? Well, you know, we're going to open the border. No, we have the right to defend the border. The problem is, and this is another thing, we have a $980 billion budget, $980 billion budget, and we can't defend the border. So you tell me what's upside down, what's downside up.
Yeah, it's crazy. The same thing's happening here. They want to bring a significant amount of people to Australia. We have no houses. We literally have no houses. Our housing crisis is gone completely crazy. Just getting back to where we were before, I wanted to ask you a couple of questions. So you said Trump didn't have the right people around him. So obviously, he couldn't go on the offensive. Did he at least have the right people to tell him what he was up against, or did they all just drop the ball in that regard?
No, he did. He did have people. He did have people. But, you know, he thought he was strong in that. And he was doing such a great job. I'll tell you, I voted for him. And I'll tell you, you know, as an American citizen, and I love my country, I believe Trump did his best, tried his best. But the great things he did are under the rug. I mean, all they're going to do is keep talking about some woman in Russia and the Russian collusion. The real collusion was the Clintons, the Bushes, the Obamas. They were all in on the deal. And it's sad to say this, you know, you know, Joe Biden. I mean, look, how could this be? Well, there's a lot of ways you can look. There's a lot of places on the web you could look what took place. I'm just saying, I hope he runs again, but can he win? Who knows? The deep state is so deep. It's really deep. You know, this is not something that happened during Trump's administration. It was there. He came to, you know, upset the apple cart, you know, throw the vendors out of the synagogue, as you say, you know what I mean, in the Bible times. And this is where we are. It's a very divided country. It's a very dangerous time in America. They're not prosecuting criminals. They're prosecuting people who are saving people's lives, who are praying on the steps. And I'm going to throw a little religion in here, if you don't mind.
I go for it.
Yeah, everybody's got to get on their knees in America and turn to God. Now, I'll be very honest with you, and I say this a lot. Okay, and it's in my heart. You know, if 6 million people were a Holocaust, what are 69 million babies that are aborted? You got to look at that and say, is God shining his light on this country anymore? You know, we were a favored nation for a long, long time, the Mayflower Compact. And I say it all the time, unless we turn back to God and ask, you know, repent for forgiveness, it's going to be a tough road. You're not going to do it. It's going to be very, very hard. And a lot of people have turned away from God. I'm not talking about religion. I'm just saying turn away from God in America. They've turned their back on God. They threw him out of the schools. They took down the flags, the Ten Commandments, and so on. And it's, let me tell you, if you go to the Bible, you can read a lot of those stories where the Israelites were in captivity for turning their back on God. So who are we, you know?
Yeah, and unfortunately, all of it by design. So other than praying, how do we fix this? How do we fix this? Because you're facing similar problems to what we are here in Australia and every other Western nation that I can think of.
I don't understand that, you know? I don't understand that. All the Western nations just like lost their mind overnight, but it's planned. Yeah. It's a plan that's going on with the WEF, which is the World Economic Forum. It's leaderships throughout the country. Imagine that. They got every leader around the world to tell you you're going to catch this COVID and you're going to have to take a vaccine. You're going to have to stay in your house and blah, 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 blah. Well, the only thing I could say, honestly, it was satanic. And, you know, it's in the Bible. Satan is in control of this world. Now, you'll hear a lot of the Christians who sing loudly on Sundays about God is in control. It absolutely is. This place is spinning because of God. But there's somebody else. The darkness power is controlling the world. So you really got to turn back to God. And I say this to all your friends in Australia and all you Western nations, you're not going to make a word out of them. And that's how I feel. That's my personal feeling. And I feel that, you know, for the whole globe, you have to turn back to God and ask for forgiveness, repent, and just say, look, we're sorry, a lot of things. Listen, he'll forgive everybody. You just have to face it. If we're going to do it in a human sense, as people, it's going to be very hard. We need the power, and he can do it. And listen, Trump got in there because he was a winner. But what God did was proved to us by having Trump in there just for a very short time that he could do it again.
Yeah, well, let's hope that is the case. It's amazing that America got a taste of Trump, of how good it could be under Trump, and then allegedly chose not to choose him again. And personally, I think that election stinks to high hell.
Absolutely. The worst thing we could have done was go to, electronic elections, because you could do anything, you know that.
Yeah.
And
postal votes. Postal votes just have to go, because I think that's how they do it. I really just can't believe that we're at a point where elections can get it so wrong. I mean, I put $3,500 Australian on Trump to win, and he was, I think, about 4-1 to lose. And there I was at 2:00 in the afternoon Australian time, and the odds had completely flipped around. And I told my son, I said, we're going to win $14,000 here. 8 hours later, the odds had gone back to the original thing. Now, even betting agencies who do this for a living, who know that the odds, they got it so polar wrong. No, they don't get it wrong. Something changed. Something happened. Mm-hmm. And we'll probably never get to the bottom of it. It's a shame, because if they can get away with it once, they'll probably get away with it again.
Well, I think it took place in other parts of the world for a while too. There's a lot of electronic things that you can do, and you can do things through cyberspace. We have a lot of shows. We're going on 3 years in June. We have almost 400 shows on our network on the 2mics.us. And, you know, your listeners can go back into our archives and look at a lot of shows we did about the election with General McInerney, who's right out there in front, and other straight up, you know, good patriotic people who came on and gave it all they had. You know, Two Mics is a very new podcast. We're well known, but we're a new podcast, fairly new, 3 years. But now, we're in 11 countries around the globe. On Apple, we're in the top 150 to 200 on most of these countries. People love us. They send us comments on the website, and it's getting bigger and bigger every day. And we get great comments. We even get listeners who tell us who they want to hear. Hey, I'd like to hear this guy. What about that guy? You know,
yeah.
It's like a family now. It's just so good, you know?
All right, Colonel Mike. Well, mate, you are going to be my new go-to guy on all things American. Let's hope this thing turns around. Let's hope that people do find something that they can find in common, because the division is rampant. Always a pleasure to talk to you, and I guarantee we'll be doing it again if you agree, Colonel Mike. And you've been very informative, and we'll talk again soon with any luck.
I'll come back with my co-host the next time, and then we'll invite you on our show too.
Tell you what, we don't muck around here at TNT Radio. We don't just get one of the two mics. We'll get the other mic in due course. And I'd love to talk about that at length, but we've got a talkback caller coming through. Donna, how are you?
Hi, Dean. I'm with my action group here and having a meeting tonight, so they're all going to say g'day. Hi,
Dean. G'day, action group. We love you here at TNT.
Thank you. Look, it's a really important, very quick minute and a half here. We're launching the portal website, www.theportal.info. It's going live in a couple of days. The official launch will be a festival, the first main conference and freedom festival in Coffs Harbour. So we're having it on the Saturday in July, Saturday and Sunday weekend, on the 15th and 16th of July. So anyone in the freedom movement, speakers, celebrities, you know, senators, everyone, we want everyone to try and be there or to go live on screen and talk to everyone that turns up. We've got accommodation right next door at Reflections Caravan Park and lots of places around the area you can stay, and it's going to be amazing. It's got full service. It's got there'll be a bar there which has got all security. It's the whole kit and caboodle is going to be there. We've got bands in the night, got music all day, we've got market stalls, and the main thing is the conferencing, talking about all of us coming together and not being fractioned off, not being separated, and the portal website giving access to every single person in the freedom movement in one place in Australia.
I think it's absolutely amazing what you're doing. I was flattered. You did ask me if I could come and compare the thing, and I had other commitments on that weekend. But
I will
send me a message, because I have the guy for you, and I
would love to tell you right now, give you his name, but I can't for reasons that will become apparent in the next couple of weeks. But so you send me a message and I will hook you up. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he'll be keen. I hope he will be anyway, because he's absolutely phenomenal and somebody I've worked with over the years, let's just say.
Oh, that would be amazing. We'd love that. And if you know anyone to promote, I mean, another day we'll get on here and we'll ask people, give numbers and stuff out so people can phone in and connect with us if they want to have a stall or come and join us or speak or depending on, you know, because we want to have everybody involved.
Thank you, Donna. So, she's proud. She's passionate. She's absolutely wonderful. And she's here on TNT Radio. And we're going to invite her back again and again to call. And we'd love it if you do. My resident troll has sent me an email, Arthur Dent, who wants me to have a crack at somebody. No, I'm not going to do that, Arthur. If you want to have a crack at me, I love troll emails. But it is a terrible business in the Ukraine. It's terrible when any people die. And that's as far as I'm going to read of your email. I'm not going to go on with what you want me to do. I'm not your puppet, Arthur Dent or Arthur Wright, and we don't believe your BS. But keep on emailing. I love it. We've got the lovely, wonderful, talented Katie Hopkins coming up next, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to TNT Radio. Catch you tomorrow afternoon.